Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Oh my, it's 5:30.
Yeah, I know that.
Oh, you ain't sleeping.
I know that.
You're pacing the floor.
I know that, Ada. Geez, tell me something I don't know.
Well, there's only 63 more shopping days to Christmas. Archie, what's the matter with you?
Not.
Oh, come on, sit down. Something must have happened to you last night.
Nothing. What are you getting so nosy for?
Oh, I ain't being nosy. I'm just talking to you. The secret of a good marriage is for a husband and wife to communicate.
Where'd you get that?
The Reader's Digest.
Well, let the Reader's Digest condense this.
Let me tell you something very important.
What?
I'm your wife.
Who else knows this?
Oh, everybody. And because I am your wife, if something's bothering you, I ought to know about it.
Well, I tell you, Edith, last night I'd done maybe the dumbest thing of my whole life.
Are you sure you've lived a long time?
Hey, this is Carolyn Hennessy, and you are listening to TV Confidential.
Got a feeling it's all over now.
Now, this is, I think, one of the crowning jewels of this week in TV history for January. January 12th, 1971, and that was the debut of All in the Family.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that played the hit parade.
That's a show that couldn't be produced today.
It could not.
For so many reasons.
Well, because you can portray a toilet on television right now. But that's the easy part. Yeah.
I mean, that was the controversy was the sound effect.
Well, the sound effect. Of course, we talked about this before a few months ago when I believe.
And you know, the Brady Bunch never had a toilet, and the kids shared a bathroom.
Yes, but Mom and Dad shared the same bed.
Ooh.
Yes, right.
No, they're only second to Herman and Lillian Munster.
Yeah. Rob and Laura Petrie still had to push the beds together, and so did Lucy and Ricky. And they were married in real life.
When Carol O'Connor died in 2001, one of the old interview clips I remember was how he was very adamant because he knew that he was playing a bigot, and there's no going around it. And he said, as long as it's I have no problem playing this character, as long as it's clear that he's the butt of the jokes. At the end of the day, he's the butt of the jokes, and he was.
He was. He also, you know, he did two pilots, both with Gene Stapleton. There were different kids. First one was called Justice for All, because originally the character was Archie Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And then Those Were the Days. All three versions had the same theme song. In fact, the original purpose of having the two lead characters sing the song is that they ran out of money. They didn't have money to have musicians and professionals.
Oh,
and they should. Oh, why don't we just sing it?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Why don't we just do it? And if you check out The Mental Sorbet, I have the two lost pilots. There's one in 1968 and one in 1969. So I think the first one was Justice for All. The second one was Those Were the Days. and then, you know, developed to what we now know as All in the Family.
Now, I read somewhere that Mickey Rooney was the original, or at least one of the original choices for Archie.
Yeah. And Carol O'Connor was considered for the Skipper, which would have been very different.
That would have been different, a little edgier. But
I had also heard that Carol O'Connor, you know, he was living in Italy, and he was, when he was cast, he was brought out to New York to do the first pilot, and a strong stipulation was that they, you know, they pay for his return trip to Italy, because he totally did not believe. He thought this show was just too smart for American television. He had no confidence that this would ever be picked up, and he wanted to make sure that his, you know, his flight back to Italy was already paid for.
But in going back to what we were talking about before, yeah, he had good reason, because he would have known that this was based on Till Death Do Us Part, the British series.
Yeah, again, we go back to that. Yeah, it was, and if you see, I know it's out on DVD, and I've watched several of those episodes. The character, the Alf Garnett character, and that was so mean and so vicious and had absolutely zero redeeming qualities. Archie Bunker would find redemption now and then. Once in a while, he would see that he was wrong.
And through the evolution of the two shows, I mean, add Archie Bunker's place to that, the character did evolve.
Yeah.
Right, but I was going to say, the redeeming qualities of Archie were not as evident in the first couple of seasons. It took a couple of seasons, you know, and again, pay testament to CBS for staying with the show and giving it the chance to grow.
Yeah, and yeah, you this was a show that I would say you had to give it the chance to grow, but very soon into it, you knew every character. So you were laughing before the joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever scenario could play out, when you knew that Archie walked into the door, you knew it was going to hit the fan, and you were already laughing in anticipation to seeing how Archie would react. So Carol O'Connor, a brilliant theatrical actor that he was, he was also a master, I think, at the Gleason-esque school of reacting,
mm-hmm.
and to the point where... It's kind of like the same thing that I think Jack Benny would have the reaction
to.
You're already laughing before he says, "I'm thinking it over." And I think Carol O'Connor also had that type of presence. You knew what was going to happen. You knew how it was going to play out. But also because you knew that character so well. And you also knew Mike's character so well. You know, they never threw you any curves. And I think when they tried to remake it... a generation later when it was 704 Hauser Street,
right.
The mm-mm. characters were never as well defined, and oftentimes they would come with a perspective that kind of threw you off. Oh, yeah. I thought he would have thought this thing or that thing. And Archie and Meathead and Edith and Gloria, you knew exactly where they were on every position. And it was really the first time that you had a family on TV that was talking about the things that families at home were talking
exactly.
about.
Oh,
yeah.
The Vietnam,
or should be talking about.
The Vietnam War, the economy, unemployment.
Race relations. Sexual revolution.
Relations.
Generation gap.
Exactly.
I think Archie Bunker is one of the most honest characters that's ever appeared on television. All in the Family as a whole was one of the most honest shows on television.
Yeah, my friend Wally Podrzyk, who was one of the first cultural historians, one of the first television historians, in his book Watching TV, and then later the sequel of that book, Harry and Wally's Favorite Television Shows, he wrote of All in the Family. So take away the fact that Archie is a bigot. The one of the central things that grounded him to a lot of viewers is, you know, the whole thing about Mike and Gloria, where Gloria was his little goyle, mm-hmm. and Mike was, you know, he was not working at the time, and so Archie, being of the older generation, saying, "How dare you get involved with my girl without having any sort of plan to take care of her?" Because that was the way he was raised. And that was an issue that a lot of older viewers could understand, even if they didn't agree with Archie's politics.
Well, there's a couple of things also about the viewership. I think there were a lot of characters that identified with Archie for good and bad reasons. One, Archie was of the generation that grew up during the Depression and fought in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also, if you were a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you were still king of the hill. And you earned it because you lived through the Depression, you fought the war. And then, you know, you were out there to live the American dream, and you paid for it by suffering through two major crises. And then at a certain point in your life, you're told, oh, by the way, the wealth has to be shared, not realizing that everybody else who lives in America went through the same struggles.
Right.
But you know, basically, I think you had that generation, and especially the blue-collar type, that felt like they were written a check and they can't cash it anymore. And I think there were a lot of people that kind of went through the same, you know, that were would be of Archie's demographic. And you also had younger people watching the show that would identify with Mike from the same perspective. Downside is, I think there were a lot of people in this country who believed the things that Archie said. And when they saw somebody on TV say the things that they, you know, they didn't really get that Archie was making fun of them.
Exactly.
You know, he would say these outlandish things and there'd be laughter, and they were oblivious to the fact
that the joke was on him.
Yeah, they didn't realize that he was the punchline. And I think we've had quite a few sitcoms that maybe the butt of the joke was too ignorant. I don't want to say dumb or stupid, but just too ignorant to realize that they are the butt of the joke. And, I think, you know, it's another reason why you couldn't do a show like that, because now those somebody would be an advocate for the bigot. Somebody would be an advocate for the person that was too ignorant to realize. You know, now they would all have their own support system. So, unfortunately, I think that would be another reason why the show could never be on.
Because, not even on cable?
Well, it could work on cable. I think it could work on cable. But
if it was done the way that Mad Men is done,
yeah,
and if it was done in a period piece, I'm not sure if we could have, you know, with things that are going on politically now, with like the Tea Party movement and political discourse, I don't know if we could have a typical American family where you would have those arguments at the dinner table night after night after
night.
And
here's a question. What's the typical American family today?
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or @TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.